Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more? Welcome to Warmaster Podcast, episode 170 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners.
One and all. We're in the mighty Jockland.
Yes,
we are. The North Countries.
We are in Falkirk.
Mm-hmm. Falkirk.
Which is on the belt between Edinburgh and Glasgow.
We had... We tried to record on the plane, but it was too loud.
Yeah.
And we drank too much Leff, and Paul fell asleep for the first time. He fell asleep last night, by the way. I need to say thank you first off to Ross, the guy who arranged the event. Scottish hospitality is legendary, but they really take it to a different level.
Yeah.
Today, do you know there are four people working the event?
Yeah, it seems a lot, doesn't it?
It's mental. It's like, and like the level of like detail. So that when they give you a result slip, they give you a pen, just in case. To fill it in.
Yeah.
Like a club pen. And they've all sorted out breakfast for tomorrow, so you can pay for breakfast. Breakfast was provided.
Yeah.
Sorted out the food tonight. Sorted out lunch.
Yeah. It's good, isn't it?
Picked us up from the airport.
Yeah, well, that's off. Particular note, yeah, that was great to get picked up from the air, and brought over, because that saved a lot of hassle at the other end.
Well, we'll be seeing that hassle tomorrow, probably, because I think our flight's at 7, so and I think the event finishes at 4:30. So
yeah,
we'll probably not be able to stay for the prize.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll play that by ear.
We'll have to do some research at some point to see how long it takes to get there. But it's been a really relaxed event so far. We'll not talk too much about it because that's the next episode.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's plenty of kind of chill time, plenty of space between rounds.
Really good.
So thanks a lot, Ross. We'll talk much more about it in the podcast that we're recording after this one. But just wanted to say. In advance.
Mm.
Thank you very much, mate.
Indeed.
Legendary Scottish hospitality. Legendary.
Legendary. Well,
legendary. That and the drinking.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, last night we talked about Brexit, and that was bad enough, but I think Scottish independence is worse than Brexit. It's like, you know, that...
You didn't mention that, did you?
Yeah, we got onto that. It was like,
oh,
Jesus.
Dear.
It's like, you know, the Fawlty Towers, don't mention the war.
I mentioned
it once, I think I got away with it. But it's like...
Bad form.
If you go to Scotland, I don't think I brought it up, to be fair.
Okay, right,
I think, you know when somebody says, don't mention Scottish independence,
Then
that instantly means that everybody starts talking about Scottish independence, like...
Was I asleep on this one, at that point? I think
the Brexit conversation started because we were with a spoon drink.
Oh, yeah.
That's Jim's going, Jim's like, no, never, over Debbie. He's like, yes. So, Jim's talking about anything, he's like, no, on the fucking place down. So, Mr. Witherspoon, whatever your name is, Tim, I mean, and Mr. Dyson, no love in the beach house for you.
No love in the beach house for you.
Love in the beach house. So, that's the intro out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Cromie.
Yeah,
that's machine. I printed some off. To look at, but let's go and wang out. What have you got?
So these are freebies. Tribes of Prydain Eagles Druid. Right, so let's have a quick look. So these are freebies that everybody got for starting the event.
I definitely did print some off. What was I impressed with? Shaving areas.
Yeah.
We had some really incredible in face. Felt like
flying. Yeah, yeah.
What did you get?
That's a mount of flying with
Druid. Oh, I printed one of them off.
Yeah.
So I think, did you break this bit of tail off? Yeah.
And then stick it in the tabs.
And
drop it on the floor.
And so it's a wizard druidy
standing on like a very Stonehenge mount, which I quite that's quite cool.
What else you got? This is for another one from Cromarty.
Yeah. Three things from Cromarty.
He wasn't taking no prisoners. Three.
Cool. Another selection of magic items. That's neat. I painted up mine that I was using today. He hasn't done one that represents a banner. So I'm using something else for that. But yeah, they're really cool, like items. Yeah, as in, but you know, making magic item like units. Is it because the theme writing here, like, it says cleaving on a sword of cleaving and a might on a sword of might, etc.
So they were the ones he sent.
That's an awesome gift if you didn't already have it.
It is. They were the ones he sent down for the GT.
Daventry thing. Yeah.
So brilliant. Thanks a lot, John.
Mm-hmm.
What's this bag? Another bag.
And then another pack of objectives, which are always handy. Yeah.
Oh, I don't think I've seen these.
Oh, yeah. So he gave them out at the LGT last year. Yeah, last year. So they're objectives, markers.
Oh, that's cute, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can use them for lots of systems.
Yeah, lots of. Do you already have a packet of that?
Well, I think I don't remember getting as many. Did you win some spot prizes? Because I only got
two packs. I got that T-shirt as a spot prize for my flame cannon blowing up.
Why have you brought super glue and shit?
Because I knew there's something we need to get fixed. It always does at the moment.
See, I got two packs. I got
that's your objective.
Oh, that is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I think that's magic items.
Yeah,
oh, cool.
Yeah,
cool. I mean, I can print all the other stuff anyway, so that's quizzing. So this is the little Fen Beast.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously perfect for radio describing this.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So it looks a bit like an elemental, I guess, like some kind of stone elemental thing. Hey, and he's also doing some Imperial Romans.
Yeah, it's because he's moving more into ancients for his, you know, his ranges, isn't he?
Yeah. A bit more crossover, a bit more... moving into some of the stuff into 15mm as well.
Yep.
So yeah, always good to see. I mean, every time you come to these events, you see more and more printed stuff.
Yep.
More and more printed stuff. But maybe this is the way. If you wanted the time to get into Warmaster and you haven't, then now is your time.
Two of you together, that's fine. But what if one of you is the monster?
Monster? We're British, you know.
So what else we got to talk about? It's not really a Warmaster thing, although the guy does sculpt for Warmaster. Do you know about the Ankelo situation, sir?
No, it's not.
So, yeah, could you didn't back the latest Kickstarter?
No, because the Grey Knights.
Grey Knights.
Yes, yeah, no.
Okay, so this is the third Kickstarter, and I mean, I know him a little bit. I think I've talked to him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
A German fella.
Yeah.
Sells his stuff on Gumroad, also does Kickstarters for I've got the Destiny Duo, which is a Gore Trek and Felix kind of vibe thing. Did you see that? And I maybe a dragon.
Oh, sweet. Yeah.
He did the Nurgle for the Epic.
Very good range.
Necron. Incredible range.
They look good. Yeah.
Incredible range for the Necrons. I've printed the Nurge.
Yep.
And Gary's painting them. They look brilliant. His painting is a good painter. Mm-hmm. And I've started painting the Necrons. And then he did the Grey Knights. And he didn't attract any hassle for either the Necrons or the Nurgle, and I thought some of the Nurgle sounded close.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the Montarian and stuff, that looked pretty the full-size miniature, or whatever. But, I mean, at the end of the day, with all these things, it's not a problem until it's a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, for whatever reason, and bizarrely, Grey Knights were a strange choice, because I can't even use them. There's no list. I bought them, but there's no list.
In Epic Armageddon, no. There's no Grey Knight list.
No. Mm-hmm. So there's Titan list, there's a lot of lists, you know, they're not short lists, there must be like 30 lists, I guess, but no Grey Knight list. And then, for whatever reason, this one range caught GW's attention, and then they really went for it, because when they go, they go.
Mm-hmm.
So, what happened was, the Kickstarter was delivered, so the STL files were sent, and then there was a problem, and people said, there's a cease and desist coming. Are the STL still files and are still available? And they were still available, so I downloaded them because I hadn't. I was worried if I don't get them now, they might not exist.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, out of nowhere, I get an email from Kickstarter saying, this Kickstarter has been cancelled, the Grey Knights one, or whatever they were called, and your money's been refunded.
Oh, well, you're all £5 of it?
Yeah, all £5. But, so I guess there were people who took commercial licenses as well.
Yeah, okay, course,
because,
yeah.
I mean, the individual punter like me, they pay your £5, but the kind of commercial license, it's not a dreadful amount of money. I think it's like 30, 40, 50 euros maybe tops.
Yep.
But Kickstarter deleted the Kickstarter of this Ankelo Grey Knight and refunded the money.
Ah.
So not through Ankelo themselves.
Yeah.
Anything like, and they posted up the letter.
Oh.
And GW said, look, he's copied our miniatures on from this site, and he's also used the symbol for Grey Knights. I don't know what the fucking symbol for Grey Knight is. There must be some badge.
The Inquisition motif. Eye, yeah. I think
is it?
Yeah.
And they must have copyrighted
that.
Eye
with a book or something like that.
Whatever the fuck. So that's gone.
Yeah, wow.
Deleted. Boom. And they refunded the money. Like, they didn't say, Mr. Anko, can you refund the money? They just took the money out of the bank.
Yeah.
And sent it back.
Mm. Right.
Yeah. So I guess with all these things, it's really hit and miss what angers GW, what angers those
Is it because it's Space Marines?
But is it? Are they?
Grey Knights are Space Marines, yeah.
But aren't they like... Were they the original Primaris Marines or whatever, but they're kind
of
bigger?
No, they're just like heavily... They got a lot of Psyker, you know, Psykers.
So still just one wound,
armor
or whatever.
Like, they're like mini... Yeah, you know, still mini Marines, yeah. They're actually... I mean, you know, quote me if I'm wrong, but they're the only ones that haven't been Primaris.
Is it?
Yeah, I don't know why that's an oversight for GW or not, I don't know. But, yeah. But yeah, maybe it's Space Marines. Maybe it's because they
don't give a shit about anything else. They can't be asked protecting IP unless you go near Space Marines, and then it's like, now it's on.
Now it's on.
So it's a bit of a sad story, really. I don't know what that's going to leave, because he was doing some amazing stuff.
Yeah, some amazing Rangers. Yeah, I mean, does he come back under a different guise? I don't know. I don't know.
Mm. But does that mean that the GW are going to do something with Epic? Because I've heard rumours that it might be coming back, but at a different scale.
Yeah, it'll be a different scale, yeah.
But bizarrely, most of the 3D printed stuff is 8mm anyway.
Yeah.
So if you came back at 8mm, that's what everything is.
Yeah, I mean the scales of Epic have never been...
No, because when I print the stuff, generally, it's always a bit big and I have to shrink them down.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So I mean, I don't know how many people are up to date on the 3D printing, the GW stuff, and I don't know where it's going to lead to. I don't know what happens now with Ankelo. I don't know. He's done a lot of ranges. He did Skaven, Ogres, some Demons.
Yeah, really good Skaven stuff, yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, hopefully it doesn't piss him off too much.
Going just to mention with John McCromarty Forge, is chatting with him. I was talking to him about, so how's the business going? And he said one of the reasons he moved into Ancients, like ranges, is because he'd be like halfway through like sculpting a range, doing a range of models, and then somebody else would a War Master, and somebody else would have then delivered brought out a range. So he's like he said he had like a half a Chaos range like designed, but then the Chaos models from Forest Dragon
started.
Yeah. But I mean
that is an interesting point. You mean how many different? There are at least two Skaven ranges that I know about. There may be more, but at least two that I know about in STL files.
Yeah.
So how many do you need?
Well, exactly. I mean, some person could take like bit elements of what they like to everything, or there's just different choices. Or God knows, really.
Attention. If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today. Soft foam, hard cases.
We haven't got much to talk about today because we're going to talk about the event in the second podcast, so this is going to be really quite a short one.
Yep.
So what is happening with the world's biggest Warmaster event?
Oh, so yeah, LGT. So we're on about 35 ticket sales. And and that means it's into a sixth round event. There was a group of Danes who's now coming. And yeah, there's six...
Danes?
Danish people.
Danes. Hey, you know, I've been watching the old Uthred.
Uthred.
What's that called?
Destiny...
I remember.
Last Kingdom. Yeah.
That was all Danes, wasn't it? Jesus Christ, they don't mess around.
They don't mess around. Yeah, so, and I'm hoping it will sell a few more tickets, but my mark of success was it to be a bigger event than it was the year before, and it is.
Yep.
It's now six rounds. Yes, it will be, definitely. It's really cool. Like, it would be great. Yeah, I mean, there's still tickets available, and we're not going to sell out. We're not going to get 64 players.
Are those tickets still available for the event? Because I thought it was close to capacity.
So, Song of Ice and Fire has sold out. But I think AOS disappeared from it. I think that freed up tickets.
What do you mean?
Well, there's not an Age of Sigmar event at it.
Why is that?
I don't know. Yeah, but there was and there isn't.
I thought that was a reasonable sized.
Well, yeah, no, maybe it's the people who are going to run it don't want to run it. Oh, God knows, really. It's not. No, I don't think it's not. It's not that the game system isn't big enough. It's just I don't think there's anybody running it.
Huh?
Yeah. Or there was, and they pulled out, I think. I don't know. Anyway, so we can sell 64 tickets if we get 64 sold.
And the rules pack is very comprehensive now. if you want something to download to kind of be the, what would you like, the scaffolding for your event?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to use everything in there. There is a lot of stuff in there, like mercenaries and some of the more wackier traitors. Just use what you want. Don't use what you don't want.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, one thing I have noticed is, and this is very good, is there's a lot of people willing to put a lot of time and effort into writing scenarios.
Mm.
So Ian's got his own scenarios. Ross has got his own scenarios. I think the Triwiz kind of use their own kind of variants on scenarios. So like the Swedish guys have their own scenarios.
Yeah.
So that's good, because that's how eventually you will find the best scenarios. Because Paul is not shy. If he sees something he likes, he'll just rob it.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm. There's no copyright here, mate. Yeah. There's no copyright on a scenario.
No. I mean,
So that's what steamrollers winter rollers got to be.
Spoiler: I haven't seen something recently that I wanted to take on.
Well, we won't talk about this event here because we will talk about the scenarios in detail. And, but I like the fact that people are willing to invest time and energy.
Yeah. Try and push things. It's like
push the envelope. You
know, a scenario is always better than none, even if that scenario ultimately really is just pitch battle anyway. Because the scenario doesn't force it to be, it doesn't make it anything else. But at least people try. Yeah.
No, definitely. This, if you come from like fantasy, there is a scenario and it is pitch battle.
Yeah.
And that is
it.
I don't think there's ever really been anything else.
The core rule, if you're talking Warhammer,
Warhammer.
There was always six in the rule book. Yeah.
Nobody ever used any of them. They were just pitch battle in tournaments and stuff. So,
exactly.
They weren't,
I don't remember.
And I think that was just saying for 40k. Do they actually do other scenarios now? Because it always used to be pitch battle.
But it's more like objective cards with...
But still on a pitch battle.
Yes. Well, yeah, essentially. But it's like they have like major objectives and minor objectives. And I was chatting to, after my round two, I was chatting to the guy about... he plays, he's a Scottish player who mostly plays 40k. And it was his third game of Warmaster. So after our game, we were chatting about like competitive 40k, what that was really like.
The madness
of it.
The codex creeping, bankroll robbing.
I think he rather liked the what Warmaster was compared to like
the genteel, balanced.
Exactly. Yeah.
Balanced.
Mm-hmm. It's cool. It's like if I saw something that I really wanted, then I'd note it down. I wouldn't change my tournament pack now. Because it's out there and tickets are sold.
Next year, though.
But yeah, next year, exactly. Next year. I think still, like, Winter Roller is different from anything else that I've seen out there. Like, it still is different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think it's a case of just being different for the sake of being different. There are a few rules that are a bit crazy, but that's you. That's how you like it, with the traitors and this and that. Whatever. Random deployment and all that madness.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway. But we'll go into the event tomorrow, in the event in the next show.
We can talk about last night, because I don't know. It's on the experimental forum. Martin is collecting stats. And I couldn't give him many stats from my event that I ran because I didn't collect people's races. So I know who beat who, but I didn't know what they were using. And I only collected the lists at the end for people who were 3-0. So I didn't have much information, but I will feed in my results from this tournament into his big machine, and I'd encourage you to do the same.
Yeah, or you can stick mine in as well.
If you give me them,
give them to you. Yeah.
So there's win, loss, draw, I think, and then whatever race you played against.
It's just race versus race, isn't it?
Yes, exactly right. Like in a matrix.
Yeah, I can tell you that.
And and maybe Ross, if you do have and you hear this and you do have your results, that would be really good, because that if you think about today, there were 22 players.
Yes, that's right.
So 11 tables, games, 5 rounds, 55 games.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's how you develop.
And there's more results, we'll get it more accurate.
Yeah, exactly right. Because what it does, the more data you have, the less the kind of the skews of, you've got inexperienced players.
Only three people have ever played a Nippon game and they all won.
Yeah. And they've only ever played against high elves for some reason. Yeah. Because there's two players who have Nippon and high elves. Just keep feeding the results. So Jim brought up the data from this yesterday, and the Nippon and Cathay were like miles ahead.
Yeah, they were, yeah. But they've got a narrow field, haven't they?
But they've got a narrow field, and then I think ogres would do relatively well, but that just could be Janus skewing it, because he's been playing ogres this year, hasn't he? Mm-hmm. So he could just be skewing the results. And then, but like, bottom tier by a fucking mile with Empire, like literally miles off the bottom. I think Dwarves were pretty bad.
Yeah.
And if you think out of the 20, when we did our power rankings, Empire were definitely mid-table in my mind.
Yeah.
And Dwarves were a little, maybe they were a little bit higher than mid-table, I don't know. Yeah. They weren't top tier.
Yeah. I think that Empire, I think just with that, a lot of people own Empire armies.
Yes, and I think a lot of people
start with playing Empire.
Because you can get the miniatures really cheap.
Yeah, yeah.
And even genuine GW, yeah. there were millions of Empire models.
Yeah, exactly.
Millions of them.
In at day one, Empire. And I think maybe that gives it like a lot of losses against Empire because there's a lot of games being played of Empire.
Yeah, I mean, there weren't actually that many unusual miniatures. I think I've got a couple of units of funkier knights.
Yeah, some alternative sculpts of knights.
Like
yeah.
Knights of the White Wolf. Yeah. I think I've got a unit of each of those.
Blazing Sun was another one. Yeah.
Oh, was it? Mm. Maybe I don't know.
But you couldn't really tell.
No, I can't tell. They're really heavy, though.
Yeah,
you can't really tell, apart from, yeah. So, that got me to thinking about Empire. And it's like, why are they so underwhelming? Because they really are miles off the bottom. And it's not for the lack of games. Because they've probably got the most games.
Empire are probably... I mean, this is kind of straying into... We won't mention the event for the next podcast, but Empire probably... They're the ones who would benefit from the mercenaries that are in the LGT the most.
Probably.
Yeah, because they can get a unit of mercenary ogres.
Probably.
Yeah, and that would really help. Or
mercenary dwarves or something.
Or mercenary dwarves, yeah.
Yeah, but then I thought about that again, and I was like, but what do you take out?
Well, I don't think you can take anything out.
In your list, when you build one, because when you build an Empire list, I find it kind of builds itself.
At this stage now, yeah.
It's like a bit like the Dwarf list builds itself.
At this stage of where we're playing like War Master, yeah, it does kind of build itself.
So you've got four crossbows, and you can upgrade some to hand gunners.
The only Empire army I've ever seen that was generally different was Declan's.
With all the crossbows.
All the crossbows of the world.
Yeah, all the crossbows in the world. Because, well, I mean, how would your Empire army go if you were building one now off your head? I mean, you're going to have like...
Four units of halberdiers.
Four crossbows.
Units of crossbows, probably two upgraded to hangar.
Maybe, if you got the points.
The cannon, the artillery.
Yeah. Two hellblasters.
I probably would take hellblasters. I tend to favour like a hellblaster and a missile unit. That's how I tend to do it. And then I would definitely take a griffin character, the full set of characters, like two wizards.
Two heroes and a general.
One hero is a griffin.
How many knights?
Three or four.
Right, okay. How many pistoliers?
Two.
You're done. You're finished out. Like, I mean, you've got flagellants and that's it.
I might play around the minor points to take a unit of flagellant somewhere or maybe a steam tank. So you might trade in like a knight or a unit or something to change to get two other things.
But that's it. So then I was thinking to myself, if we add in like ogres, what do I drop? Because you can't drop cavalry. Six is really the minimum. I don't want to go into a tournament about six cavalry.
That's the only thing you can drop, isn't it? Because you can't drop the artillery, you can't drop the minimum infantry, you can't drop the characters, so you have to drop the cavalry.
Or the flagellants.
Yeah, flagellants. Yeah.
Are ogres much better than flagellants?
They're different, but
are they better?
Well, yeah, it's about taking a defended position, isn't it? And flagellants will bounce off that most of the time.
Like, but they don't get driven back from shooting. So.
Yeah, but they only have three hits. Like it's not
They're not troll slayers. Yeah, that is right. Slayers.
Yeah, like so it's
But you'd have to leave the flagellants in the list because people have collections. And flagellants have a use.
No, you can't. You couldn't take the Empire list and delete an entry.
No,
you can only expand on it. Given the style of the War Master Rules Committee, they're not into deleting any.
No. So say you added in the ogres for sake of argument.
Yeah.
People are only going to realistically be able to take, even if you were restricted to one per thousand, so you can only take two anyway, but I think it'd be hard to find the points. You'd have to drop the griffin, probably.
Yeah.
And then flagellant, and then is it any better? I don't know. It might be marginally better. I don't think it's a massive upgrade.
No, I mean...
They're different, but they have different liabilities, don't they? They have the got to charge shit, so you lose control over them potentially.
Yeah.
And then the only other thing, and I've racked my brains on this a lot recently, the only other thing is the spell list. And then there's only the teleport spell. I think everything else is all right.
I mean, that teleport spell isn't really a spell.
It's a joke.
It's a joke.
You always take two wizards. You have a ring of magic. Yeah. I do. I have a spell scroll. So I've got my two wizards. They're fully kitted out. And it's like, I look at the spell this. What the fuck is this teleport? Why am I wasting a spell slot on this? Mm-hmm. What is it? Does anybody ever use it?
No, I've never seen it. I've only seen it cost.
Your character moves 60. How far do you want it to move?
Exactly, like 60 is enough. I think if you took away the teleport spell and you gave him the equivalent of the same spell that is Downpour.
What's Downpour do?
Within 30, negative one command.
Okay, that would give him a...
Because they have...
Do the Araby have a similar type of spell?
Mirage, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So they have an attacky spell, Ball of Flame. They have a voice of command, a movement spell.
Nice spell.
Yeah. They have
Worth Ring of Magic.
They have Will Enchantment, like combat modifier.
That's a nice spell.
Yeah, like...
Because that sticks them around a long time.
So there's no point having two combat modifiers, like, you need the other spell would be a negative command spell. Okay. And that would be a good...
Well, it'd certainly be more useful than teleport.
Yeah, it'd
be
like... Yeah.
Has anybody ever found a use of teleport?
No.
You do it as like a
Yeah, yeah.
Or cast teleport.
No, like first turn, it's like my wizard, like nothing else is in range, my wizard will cast teleport. And what I tend to do is I tend to give it to my opponent and be like, put it in that corner. They do it and they go, actually, give it back to me. And I put it exactly back where I was. I was like, teleported here. I do the same with Skaven. Because Skaven have Skitterly.
What for?
The Skaven wizards.
Yeah, but what for?
What do you mean, what for?
It's the same spell.
Yeah, same spell. It's
what's it for?
No, it's useless. Like, you never use it.
Skaven protect. Well, why does it exist?
The only place in Skaven you might need it is if you did some random long distance ambush and you were willing to. That's so far away and you're willing to send a wizard up there to die with the gutter runners.
What, more than 60 away?
Yeah, like some really... Because that's the only way that Skaven, like...
Well, how are you getting this ambush off if it's this far away?
Because you don't take the modifiers for distance when you bring it on.
Sure?
Yes, it's the rules, yeah. Infiltration. Okay. Otherwise, it'd be useless, Barry, because Skaven characters have a 20-centimetre command range.
I thought you ignored the command... The fact you can only do the 20, but you still had the modifier, the minus one for each 20. It's why I read the rules.
Oh, yeah. No. You're right. You just asked me. Well, you can't. So you can. Yeah, sorry.
So they have to be miles away. And then you're ordering them a minus a million. It's like.
Well, yeah, no, but it's so.
Because they have to be more than 60 away.
Yeah, exactly. It's like
why would I bother with this?
I'm saying it's so corner case, it never happens.
They'd never come out. Because you're rolling on so many negatives. You've got. They're only a
seven,
aren't they?
Say you required a double one, you've got.
And then I could use my teleport spell.
Yeah. Oh, great. Now I can. Skitterly.
So I think as funny as that spell is existing, I think really maybe, if we're being grown up, I think that spell's probably...
Oh, it's got to go. Like, yeah.
But if it's in multiple places, yeah, it needs to go all over.
You get rid of the teleport spell, and it's replaced by...
Something useful.
Each case-by-case deck, each army, you look at them, there's no point... So there's two classic shooting spells, isn't there? Ball of Flame. Three dice is in straight line, or three
that does work, by the way.
Or yes, it does. Or three direct attacks with no armor save.
I think the Ball of Flame's better.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, normally. There's no point putting in so if you already have Ball of Flame, there's no point putting in Death Ball or something like three direct attacks.
No.
Because you've already got attacky spell. It has to be basically, if you group spells into types of spell, there needs to be one from each type.
Yeah, because what you could unintentionally do is allow a unit to be attacked twice with a very similar spell.
Yeah.
So you'd have the line of flame and then the fireball.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever.
Not,
you don't want that. But the line of flame, I'd underrated it, I think. Because
it's really good.
If you're gamey,
you
can go through
really
multiple brigades.
Yeah, multiple gains, yeah.
And
totally.
And they do get driven back and shit.
Yeah,
it mauls the shit out of stuff.
And you might end up, you might get lucky and do three wounds or something.
Take a stand.
Yeah, it's really good.
Really good. They do get armor saves.
Skaven hate it.
No, yeah, I was going to say, you do get armor saves, but Conrad's don't have no armor saves. I
really hate that as well.
Because you've got a big bin lid of a blob of a brigade.
Oh my god, you just knackered so much.
With the confusion as well, because you can't then order the brigade properly because there's confused shit in the middle of the brigade.
Yeah, like all over the place. Because I couldn't bring Skaven to this event, I'm glad I'm not having that drama.
Yeah, so it's an innocuous spell, five up. Get a couple of goals at it.
Yeah.
The 30 centimetres is a lot more than you think. The wizards don't order for shit anyway, so get them up the front.
Especially if you position the wizards really maximise. Like, 30 centimetres to run away is a long way as well. Like, to run back to something.
So I would say that that spell's good. That they've got the weird enchantment. It's a weird spell, but it's good because it lasts my turn, your turn.
It's a combat debuff, yeah.
To the end of your turn.
Yeah.
And the movement spell is obviously top tier.
So
I think Empire should be better than they
are. So that's your two changes essentially. What we're voicing out is changing.
But I don't think the ogres would make that much difference. I think this one maybe. Could you bring your two wizards? So as long as it's not too hard to cast, it's a four up. This kind of mirage.
Yeah, I don't think it is. Yeah.
Then that's not going to break the game, and it could help kind of even the odds a bit when you're playing elves and they're out commanding you.
Yeah.
Because you're debuffing their command.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is kind of what Declan does. When Paul talked about Declan's crossbow list, he kind of has little like speed bumps across the table, which are crossbows in terrain to kind of give minus ones.
I've used a lot of partially defended moves. So like sending up a unit on, they're partially defended, they're towing a wood or a hill, and it doesn't really help being partially defended.
You can still get hit by cavalry.
Yeah. It's
They can't go into the train if that's what
you've got. Yeah, but like if you're being partially defended means that you've got defended status, but the opponent gets their charge bonuses.
Right.
So importantly, you're being hit on fives, and that is a big deal.
I won't talk too much about my list apart from the steam tank's been immense.
Yeah.
That we did forget about that when we talked about Empire.
I said I would take a steam tank.
I took a steam tank, and defensively, it's like insane.
It's a rock.
It is mental defensively.
Yeah.
Combat output's non-existent.
No, it doesn't do that.
Even when it initiative charges stuff, it doesn't do anything.
Don't use a steam tank for that.
I did. And certain pincer maneuvers and stuff, but when you're doing cheesy stuff. But you've got to look at it as a defensive piece. And I think that's another issue is the army is defensive.
Yeah. Well, it's always easier to be defensive because it requires less ordering.
Is it? Yeah, but dwarves are the same, aren't they? They are really quite a defensive army, I think.
Naturally defensive. Yeah, I mean, the scenarios has made me move stuff around. But we'll talk about the event next.
But is that why dwarves and Empire, especially, are so low down this list? Because they play defensively.
They play quite similar. They're probably going to be the same. And I imagine a lot of people start off with dwarf armies as well. They're probably quite popular.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. Mm. For sure. Oh, anyway, so this was a bit of a rambling episode. Yeah. We'll have a more focused episode talking about the tournament. Hopefully, we'll get to record some tomorrow.
Yeah, we will do.
Hopefully, depends how we get home and stuff, and how noisy it is, and how much time we have in the airport, and whether we get chatting to some old
random
couple.
Random people.
Random old couple. Almost like your smiley face, Paul.
It doesn't hurt to be nice.
Anyway, so this was episode 170, Paul and Barry.
Thanks very much.
In the sunny Scottish Highlands.
I'm
Falkirk. All right. Mm-hmm. Good night.
Would you like to know more?